Thank you. Today is Palm Sunday. This morning we begin the experience called Holy Week, that time that commemorates the last day of Jesus' life on this earth plane. Each event of Holy Week is significant. We begin this experience following a period of time which is known as Lent, a time of fasting. Now, to fast is to simply refrain or abstain from something. According to Scripture, Palm Sunday is the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Jerusalem means habitation of peace. In order to abide in consciousness of peace, we must first abstain or refrain from certain activity. Now, to enter into a consciousness of peace triumphantly, we must first drop all of those ideas and concepts that are contrary to peace. Divine science considers the time of fasting to be a time when we refrain from error thoughts so that we may meditate on truth, truth that is established in our consciousness. The events that are significant to Holy Week are actually the unfolding process that we all go through in releasing the Adam sense of life, leading to the realization that Christ consciousness is the only reality. Now, when we abide in that state of peace, truth, spiritual truth, reveals itself. All personal concepts or ideas that we have a life separate and apart from God are laid to rest. The identity called humanhood is crossed out. Erroneous thoughts concerning a little self, well, they're just put away. What is placed in that tomb on Good Friday is that which is over. All of those misunderstandings that have kept us bound to the world of opposites. When humanhood is laid to rest, what remains is the reality of us, Christ, the only begotten child of God. The man Jesus came into this world to show us the way. So let us begin the experience called Holy Week with the Palm Sunday message. Now, at this time in Jesus' life, he was well known in some circles. Many people had witnessed his miracles. Others had heard about his demonstrations, and they began to seek him out because of what they had heard and what they had seen. It was obvious to the people that Jesus could do great things. They watched as he changed water into wine. Some were there when he multiplied those loaves and the fishes. And others bore witness that, yes, indeed, he healed those lepers and the blind man. The multitude sought after Jesus because of his miracles. Could he be the one who was sent to save them? He was called the Messiah. Surely he was also meant to be their king. After all, he did talk about a kingdom. It was now time for this man of miracles to establish his kingdom, one that would be greater than the government of the day. Yes, the people, they were expecting a king, one who would rule over them and take care of their every need. This man certainly met all of those qualifications. The man Jesus demonstrated that he was perfectly capable of being their king. And so the people gathered that day in Jerusalem to greet him and to anoint him as their king, to welcome this man who could do great things. In that book, The Mysteries of John, this show of enthusiasm for the man Jesus is described in this way. The triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and his reception by the multitudes represents a transient and external enthusiasm, the result of demonstration in the hour. The multitudes that went forth to greet him crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," did so because of his demonstrations. They had recently witnessed, or they had at least heard about, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Still one more example of the power of this man. Their praise and their homage of Jesus were based on the signs that they had witnessed or simply heard about. They were based on his miracles. The multitudes were paying tribute to demonstrations, completely missing the deep inner meaning which accompanied the demonstration. Well, in time, the multitudes, they became disillusioned with Jesus. They were expecting a king, but they had misheard his message. And they certainly did not understand his kingdom that was not of this world. Jesus' message was never about himself. His kingdom was not of this world, and he had absolutely no intention of establishing an earthly one. He was sent to be about his Father's business, to speak of truth, and to do the work of him who hath sent him. Now we must also understand that Jesus was speaking to us. This experience is coming up, the one called Holy Week. It must be our experience. When we read the stories concerning what Jesus had to say, we must not leave the message with Jesus, but we must make it our own. That triumphant entry, the one into Jerusalem, that must be our first step in this week's adventure. Now, we probably won't take this step exactly as Jesus did, with people greeting us with shouts of Hosanna, spreading palm branches on our path. Nor do we come forth in pomp and pageantry, all decked out in robes, wearing rings and crowns. Nobody is expecting us to be their king or to establish a kingdom. We enter our place of peace, void of outer trappings and demonstrations. But still, there is something that we must do. Jesus rode on a donkey, a stubborn animal that needs to be trained. It is the human aspect of us that is drawn to those miracles and those demonstrations. And yes, it needs to be trained. To enter a consciousness of peace, we must first gain control over the thoughts, the wants, and the desires of that little self. The human self must bow down before God. Now, about the time that the multitudes began to notice Jesus' miracles and demonstrations, the Pharisees began to notice them too, and they were not pleased. You see, the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders of the day, and they gave much attention to the ritual and the dogma associated with those religious rites. The Pharisee is one who observes the form, but neglects the spirit of religion. Jesus spoke of spiritual reality, but the Pharisees knew only the outer form of detail and symbol. awareness that is based on the intellect, it will never know or understand spiritual things. The Pharisees feared Jesus because he threatened their belief system. And so both the multitudes and the Pharisees sought to do Jesus harm. The multitudes because, well, he simply did not fulfill their expectations. And the Pharisees because they felt threatened by his very existence. Spiritual awakening does not come gently to that one who lives in the world. When we first begin our personal spiritual journey, when we first begin to take those steps of unfoldment, we too discover that the way is not easy. As we attempt to follow the footsteps of Jesus, there will be times when we find us standing over there among the multitudes, attempting to prove the signs or the miracles, looking to that one who has the ability to fulfill our every expectation. Now, when we find us standing with the multitudes, let us remind ourselves that the outer signs are not lasting. We will never find lasting fulfillment in the outer condition. There will be times when we find us standing over there among the Pharisees, clinging to some erroneous, outdated thought and idea concerning God and religion. And since we have carried them with us for a very long time, we might not be willing to give them up. At some point, we had found ritual and dogma familiar and comforting, and we are afraid to let them go. Because you see, the consciousness of a Pharisee is not able to accept truth. And so at first, there will be the times when we find us standing among the multitudes or standing among the Pharisees, aware of the works of the man Jesus, but not really knowing what to do with them, not really understanding his message. A spiritual message is received by a consciousness established in peace. Let this be our consciousness. Truth reveals that this is the place where we belong. This is that kingdom that is void of the ritual and the dogma of the world's accepted belief. Let us ride into that place, settle on a donkey, taking dominion over the little self, training the stubborn ideas and concepts of humanhood into submission to the greater self. To experience the period of time called Holy Week requires prayer and meditation. To fast or abstain from erroneous thoughts of human awareness is the necessary preparation. Now, those events of Holy Week, they do not just occur that time of the year in March or April that is set aside to think on these things. These events and activities of Holy Week, they occur each and every time we are willing to become still, turn from the outer world, and enter the kingdom. Each day in our time of meditation is the fasting time that prepares for the way to Jerusalem. When we turn in an inward way, the idea of humanhood, it's put away. A concept of a life separate and apart from God is crossed out and is put to rest. And now I speak to you about truth. Truth is not popular with the multitudes. You see, the masses will always require that outer demonstration. They will continue to look to the signs of the time to tell them what to do. The multitudes, they look to an outside entity to take care of them and, oh yes, fulfill their expectations. They look to the one they think has all of the answers, not realizing that the answers are within them. Truth is not popular with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they require the rites and the ritual, the dogma and the symbol for their religion. God will not be found in rites and rituals, in dogma and symbols. At some point, we each will take the steps that are essential to Holy Week. At any time, that spiritual awakening could occur, and the multitudes and the Pharisees may be redeemed. Consciousness, when touched by truth, it is redeemed. It is cleansed and lifted to that place where we look out on the world and say, it is finished. A statement of truth is that the kingdom of heaven is within. It is this knowledge that allows us to turn to the world and declare it finished. These things, they no longer move me. These things do not find anything in us. It is finished when there is nothing left in us to challenge our convictions. It is finished when all thoughts of humanhood have been placed in that tomb. The words, it is finished, means that we have crossed out anything and everything that does not belong to Christ. Christ consciousness is awareness that has been redeemed, cleansed, and lifted out of the world of condition. I am that I am. Come thou, almighty King, is the song that calls forth Christ, the one that can do great things. This morning, let us experience the Palm Sunday message, acquaint ourselves with him, and be at peace. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? Let us begin the experience called Holy Week with prayer and with meditation. Take time to be holy. As we release our thoughts, our emotions, we are alone with God. In the stillness of our own soul's awareness, we give recognition. It is there that we feel his presence, in his place of serenity. In this state of consciousness, we cross out those erroneous thoughts and ideas that we entertained about us. It is there that we lay down the human nature so that Christ is our only reality. All things are made new. All things pass away. And now I say, it is finished. Throughout the coming week, abide in this consciousness. Steadfastly facing thee, there is none else. So in this holy time of celebration, I say, come, thou almighty King, your time has come. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.